If you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Come on.
I also want to welcome Vicky Timlin's mother, who's here today. She was sitting there, and I didn't do it earlier, so she's outside because I'm a bit noisy. No, I'm not a bit noisy. We're all a bit noisy, I think. You know, we've been going through the book of 2 Corinthians, if you haven't been here. And last time I preached, we had Dave last week, but last time we did 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and focused on the whole idea about Paul talking about the whole idea of the weapons we don't fight with. We have different weapons and we need to take captive every thought. And I know that touched some people's hearts, and I want to just share a little bit from that message again this week and just simply say that I hope you've handed out some eviction notices lately. For those of you who remember the message, I hope you've handed out some eviction notices lately and some unwanted tenants. That'll make sense for those that were here. And that you have no one else, no unwanted ones moved in lately. So we're dealing with the thoughts in our hearts and in our minds. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's read this chapter together. And so basically Paul is going on and basically in defence of his ministry. You know, in Corinth there was some things going on. He talks about these super apostles. Some men have come in and infiltrated. And some people were obviously negative about Paul, saying things behind his back, and he was being discredited. So he writes this letter, and you get to, and he does it periodically through, but he really starts to ramp it up here in 2 Corinthians 10, and particularly 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as he starts to give his credentials, if you like. His apostle credentials, or his apostle CV, which we'll talk about. Let's read this chapter together, and it says, "I hope you'll put up with a little of my foolishness. But you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised to you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you received a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But that I do not think that I am at least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have laboured and toiled, and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, know that I was not lying. For in Damascus, the governor under King Artus had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to the paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by me, by what I do or say. And we'll save the rest for next week. You know, it's an interesting text, and it's an interesting text because it's amazing that the Paul's length, the things he will go through here. And even when he talks, when he says, you know, man, I'm out of my mind to talk like this. You know, he realises, how am I getting drawn into this? And you kind of, if you read between the lines, you feel he's kind of hurt. You feel the fact that he feels so betrayed. He's poured out. He says, you know, I wasn't even a burden to you. And we know he wasn't. At one stage there, we know that Paul was a tent maker in the Corinth church while he's in Corinth. And he did receive his support from places like Thessalonica, which if you read the Thessalonian letter, you see that, where Paul talks about getting the support from those brothers. He says, man, I did everything I could not to be a burden. And yet after that, you know, he's seen as what? I mean, what's really going on here? Well, he's seen as a bit of a fake. Somehow he's being discredited. He's seen as not the real thing. And as we discuss this text here for a little bit, a couple of short little points, and my first point is the real thing. Because in my mind, what's going on here is Paul's defending the fact that he is the real thing. And of course, we're not talking about, you know what, the real thing. That commercial? Coke, the real thing? You forgot? Sounds like some of you forgot that. Yes, it's
the real thing.
Coke, the real thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so he goes out of his way. 2 Corinthians 11:5, you know, he'll talk about the fact that he's not at least inferior to these super apostles. It seems like people are coming in and claiming apostleship. That's the way it went back then when someone saw the authority and the prestige, if you like, that came with the title apostle. People used that to exploit churches. And this is one church, it seems like, in Corinth, where that was exploited. The people coming in somehow were convincing people that they were apostles. But essentially here, to start off with, the real thing, Paul he wants them to understand he's not a fake. He's not an imposter. He's the real deal. He's genuine about what he's doing and who he is. You know, no one likes a fake. We all want to believe. We all want to believe that, you know, we want the real thing, don't we? We want people to be genuine. We want the truth. And we know in a world that's hard to have sometimes. And I think to a degree, we're all sceptical of the truth. Even some of you visiting today, if I told you that the Melbourne Church of Christ is the real thing, that this is it, we're the genuine, we're the real deal, We're the fair incomes of the world. If I was in your shoes for the first time, or maybe the second time, I'd be inclined to think, sure, buddy. Sure, buddy. They all say that. And they all think that. They all think they're the real thing. And I'm a skeptic. You know, just the other day, a couple of things happened. I'll talk about a couple of examples. One, Jared had a car accident. I can't remember what day it was. What day was it, Jared? Thursday? Thursday? Thursday rings me up. I always get nervous when Jared rings me up. And I tell you why I get nervous when Jared rings me up, because he doesn't ring me. And when he does ring me, it's usually something, and I always get this eerie feeling, you know, so he rang me. I do. I always think, okay, what it is. I don't know if you've got kids, maybe that's what happens. Anyway, he said, Dad, I've had an accident. I said, okay, what happened? And he seemed okay. He said, oh, I was pulling out or something happened. This guy sideswiped me. He said, I'm at McDonald's at the corner of Centre Dandy and Boundary Road. It's just up the road from my house. He said, Dad, there's a rubbing noise on the car. Can you come? I said, sure, I'll come. Anyway, so I got there and I said, so, Jared, did you get the details? I fixed his car. It was okay. It wasn't hard to pull the gutter out from rubbing from the tyre. I said, Jared, did you get all these details? Because all you got to do is to get his license, take a picture of it with your phone, and take a picture of the rego plate. And he says, no, I just got his phone number.
Oh, no.
See?
Oh, no.
Can I have that again? See, I just got his phone number.
Oh.
Yeah, see? But, you know, I thought to myself, Jared, and I said, I can't, I've got to be careful here because I know what's going to happen. And then, but I couldn't help myself. I couldn't. I said, Jared, why'd you do that for? You can't just get, what's a phone number? Phone number's nothing. Did you ring it? Yeah, I rang it. It's definitely his phone number. But so what? You don't know anything about him. He could just, you know, ring him, he doesn't pick up, he blocks your number, you send him a text, he doesn't get back. I said, oh, no. And then, poor guy, then he starts panicking. Oh, no, Dad, oh. Anyway, so lo and behold, he rang him, though. He did. He texted the guy and said, look, can I get you, because I know you're in a hurry, can I get your rego number and your address? And so he sent it back. He sent it back. So I was shown up that, you know, there are genuine people in the world. But he did give the address, which is just around the corner from the accident. I did check that night, though. I drove to make sure the car was there. No one's going to rip off my son, thank you very much. But it happens. Just the other day, looking at a car for Jess, you know, I'm talking to Tim on the phone, and we're looking at this guy, and Tim, this guy's got this great deal on this Toyota, and it's cheap, and it's got great case, it's got no plates on it, but I thought, okay, what's going on here? And then, so I do a search on the VIN number while Tim's giving me the VIN number. I do a search on Vic Roads, and the Vic Roads website says silver. The car's silver. But this car is cream.
Light silver.
Light beige, actually. And I saw the pictures myself. It's cream. Now, listen. And then I said to Tim, I said, okay, Tim, I hate to do this, but what nationality is he? And he said, Maltese. I said, that's it. Bag the deal. No, he wasn't. So I can bag them all, see, so I can say that. Anyway, look, it all worked out in the end. But it just goes to show, you know, we're kind of geared that way a little bit, aren't we? We so much just want, just be honest, just give us the real thing. We can take it. And I think we know how that goes. You know, religion, it's a huge one. So many churches, so many religions, so many bad experiences. You know, what we do is, what do we look at? We look at the institution. We look at churches as a whole. And I'm not going to name churches here. I'm not going to throw churches under the bus. But you know who I'm talking about. Some churches have got, the name's not good. And there are so many. Who do you trust? Well, you know, I meet people all the time. And go, oh, well, I used to do that. I had a bad experience. And so, therefore, it's not genuine. And none of it's genuine then. And it's challenging. But we look to the institutions. And we stand here and we call ourselves the Melbourne Church of Christ. And amen that we do. But what is the Melbourne Church of Christ? It's about the Melbourne Church of Christ and these institutions, these churches. It's all about, it's me and you. It's about the individual. It's never about a church. Yes, it is a church as a whole, but if we see it that way, we forget the importance of us as individuals. You know, I so much want to be real in my life. I strive to be genuine. I really do. I strive to be honest. I strive really hard to be. What you see is what you get. My heart's not always in the right place. I'll admit that. I have no problem with that. But I strive to be real. And if something's not right, you know, I want you to know. Someone needs to know. I don't want to be a fake. Because I don't like it when someone's fake with me. I want to be able to trust. And I know how it feels when you find something that's real. Someone that's genuine. I know how that feels. And so because of that, that's the way I want to be. Now, we're not talking about, you know, like I said, it's not about the heart from the perspective that you might be here and say, yeah, I feel like I'm a fake, I don't really want to be here. The only way you become fake in that situation, because we all struggle. I know some of you might think, well, why am I here? Because I feel like I'm a fake being here, because I don't really want to be here. The solution to that is very easy. You're honest about the fact that you don't want to be here. But you're no longer a fake. And that's the best way your heart can be healed. Because I know people do that. Oh, I just don't feel like... But you know you want to, but I just feel like because I don't really want to, but I'm here because I know I should be, and there's that battle going on. But just be open about that. That's okay. It's okay. Just be real. Just be open. Be honest. I'll tell you that. There are times I don't want to come to church. There are times I don't want to do this. There are times I don't.
That's right.
But I know it's God's calling, and I know that's what I need to do. Sometimes we think, well, I was talking to someone the other day about someone who's left church, and they made the comment that this person is now feel like they can be real. And I went, what? I cringed. I went, what do you mean you feel like you can be real? I feel like I can be me. What does that mean? Yeah, I understand. I feel like I'm free now. I can understand that to a degree. I know what they're saying. Well, if I'm away from this now, I can feel like I can just be me. Yet the question is, who is that you, though?
Yeah.
What you are you talking about? Because I know, away from this and away from God, I know the me, this so-called free me, I know who that free me would become. That's not a nice free me. I want to crush that. I want to deal with that boy. Because if he pops up, man, he's not a nice guy. I'm chauvinistic. I'm mean. I'm ugly. I'm selfish. I'm proud. That's me. Is that where that freedom's going to lead me? That's the freedom I want.
Come on.
You know, my plea for my first point simply is, let's be real. Be real. Be the real thing. And just be open. What is that? It's truth. What is being real? Being transparent. Talk about it. That's all people want. That humility. I got with a person the other day who's been struggling a fair bit. And we had a great chat. And I opened up about my struggles to him. Some stuff I was struggling with. This person's not even coming to church. I'm trying to help them. I don't say that in a boastful way. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter to me. God knows all. It's not like, well, hang on, you're not, how can you be in a position to help me? Why should I be open to you? You're not even coming to church. Some of us would think that way. Be real. People want the real thing. God deserves us to be real.
Bye-bye.
That's the best hope you have of changing. That's the best hope this world has of changing. I believe with all my heart that the Melbourne Church is the real deal.
Come on.
But I know where it starts. And it starts with me. I know for the Melbourne Church to be the real deal, I need to be the real deal.
Yeah, come on.
I need to be genuine. heartfelt, open, sincere about what I do, with all my faults, with all my weaknesses, with all the times my heart is hard. But as long as I'm real, that makes all the difference. Let's all strive as a church to be the real deal, amen? As individuals, and we'll be that church that this city desperately needs. Amen. Let's all stand and sing. No, just kidding.
Sing it for us.
You were ready, weren't you? You said, yeah, thanks very much. Let's all stand and sing. You almost got up. I should have just walked off a little bit and see what happened then. Who would have popped up for a second there? Those teenies over there, they're ready. They've had enough already, you can tell. Now, my second point is CV, and that's not Karen Vassallo either, by the way. I meant to look this up. What does CV mean? Oh, gee. Smarty pantses, aren't you, eh? So what is it again? Because I couldn't hear you. Curriculum vitae.
Yeah.
Vitae. What in the Sam Hills of vitae? Is that a French word, is it? Oh, it's Latin. What an idiot. Well, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, I'm not a trained speaker. Yep, amen. So I don't know what CV means. Look, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, we're getting a little bit of ahead, but just to go down verse 11 for a second, and this will be a fairly quick point. In verse 11 it says, I have made a fool of myself. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning of verse 11, it says, I've made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. It's funny, isn't it? It just keeps going. Doesn't stop, does he? I ought to have been commended by you, for I'm not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. And today I want to talk about our CVs in some sense, just a little bit here. You know, because in 2 Corinthians 11, when Paul goes through that list about what happened to him, it's almost like he's letting them know that this is because of these things. Look what I went through. It kind of proves his authenticity. And you can't kind of deny him that, can you, in some sense? You know, because stuff happens in our lives. Matter of fact, the Greek word for mark, when he says the things that mark an apostle, basically means what are you known, or how are you known, if you like. Or what are you known by? But more importantly, how are you known? And if I was to ask that as a question of you right now, how are you known? You know, what marks you? You know, a lot of us here would profess to be disciples. What marks you? How are you known as you live your life for God? How are you known as you profess Christ? How are you known? Because life will always throw up its challenges. And I so much respect Jess when she came up. I don't know. Because I can begin to imagine what Jess has been through with Jacoby. And I respect the fact that she says, I haven't been doing well spiritually. There's that realness. But already for me, you know, she's her kind of, and we don't do this. As I preach this, you don't hand your CV to everyone, okay? I mean, you do to get a job, I understand. But I'm not talking about writing out a CV, a spiritual CV, and you're going, see, this is me. Here's my CV. Here's my list. This is what you got. It's not about that. But I do think in our lives we need to understand that we're all done with the whole idea of, well, I just believe in Jesus and that's it. There's enough Christianity out there that says, I believe in Christ, but we all know, but where's the fruit? Okay, where's the signs of this? And there needs to be that. And I appreciate about Jess is it's kind of, you can see that. You can see how she's gone through the struggles and she's here today. She's not going to come every, I don't know, I thought someone said she's going to come every fortnight, whatever it is. But regardless of what she does or doesn't do, I know where she's at. I know what she's battling. I can sense it. But you can see that her authenticity now, because life has thrown this massive challenge before her, and things happen to us and they define us and they refine us and they purify us and deal with the impurities.
Come on.
Because that's what happens. They make us better and more like Christ. And Paul will say that, look, I don't think he willed this. Three times he was shipwrecked. I remember once he was shipwrecked for sure. Where was that? We all know where that was. I'm not even going to say it. I'm trying to think of the other two times he was shipwrecked. You know, he talks about these situations that he went through. And he says, man, this refined me. And I think about us, and I think about what we're known by. At what point, if you would have gone through any of those things, would you have maybe given up? I mean, stone. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. What's all that about? Well, because in the Jews, the law said you can't lash somebody more than 40. So to make sure there was no miscount, they took one off. That was the deal. But five times you received. How many lashes is that? Well, five times 40 is what? It's, you know, minus the... So what's that, 195, right? Is that right? That's a lot of lashes. Some of us, man, two. Ow, that hurt. Well, get ready, buddy, because 193 coming. We read this stuff. We read it like we're just reading a story, like we're so desensitized to violence by our TVs. It doesn't matter to us as long as we don't feel it. I think, you know what they should do with virtual reality? The real virtual reality is whatever's going on, somehow there's, you know, they'll make the movie real, won't it? You start feeling what they feel. Might bring it home a little bit, but imagine that. I mean, just that. At what point would we have given up? You know, what marks us as disciples, not more importantly, not what marks us, but what marks you is the issue. And again, not to throw around your CV, but what's on your CV? What's there? You know, can people, man, is there faith? Are you a faithful person? No matter what, you know, God is in control. You know, are you an enduring person? Boy, how can you not read that list and think of endurance?
Yeah.
Because you will need to endure. In Christ, no matter what it is, you will need to endure. Are you enduring? You know, in Romans 5, Paul talks about how perseverance, in verse 3, it says perseverance produces character, character hope. Perseverance produces character. I think Paul became the man he was. You know, I'm amazed to a degree how easily people give up. How they get knocked off course so easily. Some little thing. And I mean, how can you compare? None of this, I don't know anyone. This list. None of us tend to face that. What Jess is going through, none of us don't face this stuff. And we get knocked off course so easily. Someone says something not right or whatever. That's not what faith is about. Do you have that endurance as part of your CV? Are you patient with God? You know, we need to be patient with God. Because I think we get impatient with God. God doesn't give us what we want, when we want, doesn't work out. We get impatient. We're not willing to sit. We're not willing to say, man, God's in control. Sit and be still. And you'll see the power of God. You only need to be still, Moses tells the Israelites, as Pharaoh's army is coming. Just be still and you'll see the power of God. Amen. Yeah. Are we patient when it comes to God? Are we ready to understand it doesn't matter? I'm in God's wing. Do we have that heart? Do we have that perseverance? Amen. You know, what about joy? This is something personally for me. You know, joy. I'm always thinking, I remember Peter Boardman shared this verse once. He won't remember this, but that's okay. I never remember half the things I say either. But I shouldn't say he shouldn't remember, because I should give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he might remember, actually. Do you remember Pete? He doesn't. There you go. But I remember he read it out. I thought I wrote down the verse, by the way, but I didn't. I think it's 2 Peter 1. Sorry about this. Oh, it talks about inexpressible joy. It's there in 1 Peter. I'm sure it's there. There it is. There it is. Verse 8. I thought I wrote it down. Anyway. He says, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I remember when Pete shared this, I looked at it, I thought, I've never read it that way. This inexpressible joy. I think, ha ha! And I remember praying about this. I said, God, I want to have this inexpressible joy, whatever's going on. That's why I think Paul says, hey, who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? I think through all that, what Paul went through, he had this inexpressible joy almost. Is that on your CV? Or do you carry the whole idea of being a disciple like it's this massive millstone tied around your neck? Because heaven forbid. But I think one sure sign that you're the real thing is, man, you've got that joy. No matter what's going on, you have that joy. And I pray, God, I want to have that inexpressible joy wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. You may think, surely that's impossible. Yeah, it may be a little bit on the stretch, but you know what? If the Bible talks about I can have this inexpressible joy, then I want to believe that I can have this inexpressible joy no matter what is going on in my life.
Amen. Come on, Mike.
I love it when people come into our church and they say, man, the love, the singing, that's the way it needs to be. Now, if there's something I can throw on the CV here, just a little one here, a little bit of housekeeping, can we please try and start on time? We're not there yet, church. Okay, I believe if we can tick that little box in our CVs, we'll become the perfect people.
Amen. Amen, Mike.
Let's just get to church early, ready to go. Even earlier, so we can have some great fellowship. Really be pumping each other up before the service. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Come on.
You know, Paul, and I could go on. I really could go on. You figure out. You look at yourself. Ask yourself, what are you known as? What do you think you're known as? And I could go through a lot of you, and I really could. And I don't want to just select some of you because that wouldn't be fair to the others. But I could pick a lot of you and say, this is what you're known by. And I love this about you. Yes, I could talk about Gail Boardman as Pete gives a little tap on the shoulder over there. And it's true. I could speak for a long time about Gail Boardman and what she's known as. I could tell you how highly Karen thinks. I can't tell you how she talks about Gail better than she talks about me, that's for sure. I shouldn't say that. Where's my wife? She's outside. But I could. But maybe you look at your own life. What do you think? Let's be the real deal, church. Let's take heart. You know, Paul goes out of his way to defend himself and he throws his CV around. And I think he does it because he feels like, man, I'm hurt by this in some sense. Look what I've endured for all this. And I think there needs to be some of that in our lives as well. Let's be that real thing that we all want each other to be. Let's do it for each other. Let's do it for God. Let's do it for a lost world. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.